right, good friends, welcome. It's 4 p.m. Central Time, and you're listening to me right here on the great GCN Radio Network, and that means it's now time for INN World Report Radio. Good afternoon. Welcome to the program. We have just an outstanding guest lined up for you today. Don't go anywhere. He'll be with us in, about 10 minutes or so. And I'm talking about somebody whose work I just became aware of not too long ago. And I must tell you, friends, this is really, really important work. This is a university professor. His name is Lance DeHaven Smith, and he teaches at the University of Florida. He's down in Tallahassee. And I believe it was through 9/11 Blogger I became aware of his work. But he is developing, you know, through academic papers and working together with other professors, he's putting forth a concept that is sorely, sorely needed in our society, and that is the awareness of state crimes against democracy. State crimes against democracy. He calls them SCADs, and he says that there's a hole in our system. Okay, in our educational system, in our governmental system, where we are practically incapable of defending ourselves from when the government itself commits acts and crimes against democracy, basically trying to thwart the will of we the people. Okay, and he says that, you know, this has been happening pretty steadily now since World War II. I think he goes back even before then, and he just outlined some very, very interesting stuff, and he's proposing that that we need to set up a study for this, set up you know, amend our institutions so that we can be on the guard for this and protect ourselves against this when the government goes ahead and breaks the law, when the government goes ahead and behaves in undemocratic ways here at home and for that matter abroad as well. We've got treaties with countries where we are, you know, treaties are very, very important, and they are very legal. Once they're ratified by the Senate, it becomes U.S. law as well, and we have all kinds of treaties where we are supposed to interact with other countries in certain ways. We disregard those when we don't like it. We throw elected democratic leaders out of office in other countries, and you know, it's important why we have to watch this, because who says, you know, this is all done in secret, and who says that these people in our government who learn how to do this, maybe they become unhappy with the choice that you and I make, that we the people make. Maybe they feel that they know better than we do, and they may decide to get rid of a government, or, you know, affect the course of events, such as the Gulf of Tonkin incident, for instance, where a fabrication was used as a pretext to greatly, greatly increase the war in Vietnam. So Lance DeHaven Smith, he'll be joining us very shortly. Very important work. As a matter of fact, here, let me read you the abstract from one of his papers here outlining When Political Crimes Are Inside Jobs, Detecting State Crimes Against Democracy by Lance DeHaven Smith, Florida State University. The abstract says, public administration theory and practice tend to overlook the possibility of state political criminality in liberal democracies. This article proposes a policy science to detect state crimes against democracy, SCADs, using social and political theory to understand when, why, how, and by whom such crimes are likely to be committed. After defining SCADs and differentiating them from other types of political crimes, this article analyzes SCADs in terms of anti-democratic tendencies posited by theories of liberal democracy. SCADs are traced to specific institutional objectives by analyzing patterns in SCAD targets, timing, and modus operandi, the role played by career civil servants in exposing government crimes and deceptions suggests that professional public administrators are a critical line of defense against the criminalization of the state. And he has many examples. He talks about Watergate, of course, but also Iran-Contra, the lies about the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, 9/11, the lack of a proper inquiry there, the failure of the failure of our defense mechanisms on that day, assassinations such as that of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, even goes back to Abraham Lincoln. And there are patterns, he claims, in these actions that you can begin to analyze, and patterns emerge and are revealed. So in any case, Lance DeHaven Smith will be joining us very shortly. Something else that I came across that I think is really, really fantastic, and I've put a request out to get somebody from this group on the air so that they can talk with you, is, there's a lot of people just really getting fed up, particularly now in light of the recent Supreme Court decision giving corporations the right of free speech the way people do without many of the other responsibilities that people do. Corporations can't go out and fight and be drafted, for instance, and that sort of thing. Yet they enjoy now the benefits of being a person without any of the responsibilities, it seems. So there's a group on the web now, freespeechforpeople.org. I urge you to go take a look at the website, freespeechforpeople.org. And they want to amend the Constitution to reclaim our democracy. And they've got some videos on there and so forth. But the plan is the campaign seeks to restore the First Amendment to its original purpose, to protect people, not corporations. To achieve this goal, we do the following: raise public awareness of corporate misuse of the First Amendment, mobilize grassroots support to reclaim the First Amendment for the people, create a legal environment for getting courts to return to the First Amendment's intended purpose, and to work to amend the Constitution to make clear that corporations are not people entitled to free speech rights under the First Amendment. Very, very interesting. I think it would be the 28th Amendment or so to the Constitution. Friends, I think it's time, isn't it? Wouldn't you say? I mean, every generation amends the Constitution, and it hasn't happened much in our memory, and it's kind of like that's just another example of the disempowerment of we the people. You know, people don't even realize this is a tool that we have. You know, the framers couldn't envision everything, so they put this mechanism in there. The Constitution can be amended. All right, and it was amended to make the sale of alcohol illegal. All right, and then it was amended to change that back. Okay, these are the kinds of, you know, the First Amendment, of course, that we all know about. These are the kinds of things that are there. They are tools, and yet it seems so far removed from the awareness of we the people. And if you ask me, by design, the educational system is in the pocket of very, very large trusts and so forth. And, people just are not getting a good education when it comes to the Constitution, to the power inherent in we the people and so forth. The consent of the governed. Tell me where the Patriot Act, that was still hot off the presses when it was brought to Congress and they didn't even have a chance to read it, all those pages, tell me where that remotely involved the consent of the governed. So in any case, I think it's very exciting. I'm reaching out for somebody from freespeechforpeople.org. In the meanwhile, don't wait. Go there yourself and take a look. Find out what's going on. I think it's very encouraging. My guest today, Lance DeHaven Smith, the work that he is doing, which you are going to start to hear about in just a few minutes, and people working now to get a movement going, and I think it's very, very transpartisan, by the way, my friends, which is extremely important, to get the Constitution amended. Take free speech away from corporations. This is Tom Kiley, INN World Report Radio. We're going to be right back with Lance DeHaven Smith just after this. America, you are being tested, but here's where we study for it. From 1/2 mile north of Ground Zero in New York City, you are listening to INN World Report Radio with Tom Kiley. Now, daily on GCN, 4 until 5 p.m. Central. We'll be right back.
For 9 years, the alternative media activists at INN have produced national daily television news and information programming, top-of-the-hour radio news briefs, and INN World Report Radio. News talk radio that brings you real news the networks won't tell you, and all of it 100% certified neocon-free. To find out more and for details on the stories we are following, go to innworldreport.net.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
This is Tom Kiley, INN World Report Radio, right here on GCN, 5 days a week, 4 until 5 p.m. Central Time, where we endeavor to bring you the news the networks won't tell you, and that is certainly what we are going to do now for the rest of the program with a very special guest, if you ask me. I've really had the pleasure of finding out about our guest very recently, Lance DeHaven Smith. He teaches at Florida State University and is coming up with just an amazing, amazing model. He's identified spot on. You know, so many of us are struggling with conspiracies and theories of conspiracies and so forth. And I would be, I'm going to hazard a guess, Lance, or may I say Dr. DeHaven Smith, that you're proposing a sort of a unifying theory about so many of the conspiracies that we wrestle with. First of all, welcome to INN World Report.
Thanks, Tom. It's a pleasure to be on here. And yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. Is I call it sometimes a unified conspiracy theory. It's looking at all of the various conspiracies and identifying commonalities in their targets and who benefits and what their tactics are and that kind of thing. And there's a lot to be learned by looking at the overall patterns, as opposed to staying focused on just one particular event at a time.
You know, that's something that it occurs to me. It's just, isn't it odd if it was purely coincidental or happenstance that these tragedies seem to continually befall progressive or liberal-leaning politicians or political movements? Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. I mean, look at the assassinations in the 1960s and early 1970s. The generation of the left, the progressives, all of their major leaders were killed, and you don't replace those people. I mean, I think that's the thing. Whoever is behind all of this recognizes that if you take out a Martin Luther King, a John Kennedy, a Robert Kennedy, a Malcolm X, there's nobody that just immediately takes up the cause. I mean, it takes a certain charisma and history. So it's, but the amazing thing is we don't look across all these events. I mean, when you had John Kennedy killed, Bobby Kennedy killed, and George Wallace attacked, every one of those guys had run against Richard Nixon, and yet nobody said, well, could it be Nixon? You know, if it was a regular crime and somebody's husband or wife died of a stomach problem or something, and then the next husband or wife died of the same thing, and then the third one did, I mean, you'd be exhuming the body.
And part of your part of your thesis that you're putting forth is that not only that, but it's the same. It's the foxes then who are called in to examine the hen house, right?
Yeah, that's the wild thing. The same officials who should be suspects are in charge of the investigation. So you
like Alan Dulles, for instance, prime suspect, right?
Put on the Warren Commission.
Yeah. Where he's in charge of, he's the gatekeeper, Philip Zelikow. In a supposedly bipartisan commission, you've got the White House gatekeeper on what's allowed to be gone into and that sort of thing.
That's exactly right.
Over and over again, like we're stupid. You know, it's very interesting. Go ahead.
Well, I think that's one of the things that we need to do to at least discourage some of these shenanigans, and that is to mandate certain types of investigations involving grand juries, ordinary Americans. When we have an assassination, none of this, the president picks a commission. When we have a defense failure like 9/11, no, not the insiders. Let's get regular Americans in and do a thorough investigation by independent people.
You know, it's an interesting approach because I've often thought of it myself. You know, everyone's being led down the garden path, and there's red herrings all over the place, and people are chasing after individual events. However, you know, it is interesting if you look at it in the abstract or in the negative, it's kind of like using spray paint on the invisible man. You know, the patterns definitely emerge, don't they? And you can begin to see things. And I find, I'll give you an example. I find it very interesting that assassination, for instance, is necessary. Well, that tells me that the ideas that want to overcome the voice of the person who's assassinated can't do so otherwise, can't do so in the political arena, can't do so in a fair and honest debate, right?
That's right. And in some ways it says a lot. It's a good thing about American politics. It says that there are strong voices out there, and there are people that listen to those voices and rally to the cause. But it's tragic how frequently this happens and that they get away with it. I think we should look at assassinations as serial crimes, that we've got essentially a serial murderer stalking our political system.
I think that's a very, very interesting way to put it. And, you know, to underscore your point, you and I are of the same generation, basically, I would say. We're both in the Army in the early 70s, at the end of the Vietnam era. We were certainly old enough to remember where we were and what we felt when we found out that President Kennedy had been killed. That, for me, was just that was like such a bright, wide-open future. He seemed to be on the crest of the wave of this incredible expansion of the American middle class, the returning veterans from World War II, the clean guys who did a good job in a terrible situation, all coming back, many of them going to college now for the first time, getting educated, buying homes for the first time in the history of their families.
And he was that generation. He was, you know, a World War II veteran. He wanted to end the Cold War. I think that was what got him killed, if anything did. That he wanted to reduce nuclear weapons and our dependence on them, and make peace with the Russians. And you know, it's interesting. Khrushchev was removed from office within a year of Kennedy's assassination. And I think of it like the right wing in both countries would not tolerate the end of the Cold War.
Well, yeah, it's very interesting. I'm sure you've read the book by James Douglas. It goes into a lot of those details. But in any case, friends, we're speaking with Lance DeHaven Smith for the first time on INN, but I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be the last by any means. We're talking about his idea about state crimes against democracy. We'll be back with Lance DeHaven Smith right after this.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
right, good friends, welcome back. This is Tom Kiley, INN War Report Radio, right here on GCN, Monday through Friday, 4 until 5 p.m. Central Time. And we've got a very interesting discussion going today, friends. As a matter of fact, Dr. DeHaven Smith, Lance DeHaven Smith, may I call you Lance?
Yes, please.
So then, Lance, do you mind, by the way, if we throw the phone lines open in case anybody wants to call in?
That would be fine.
Why don't we do that? Friends, if you've got a question for Professor Smith, or Lance, as I like to say, why don't you give us a ring, join the conversation, because I know this is just a very, very important topic. And what do you feel? What do you feel, folks, about approaching all of these conspiracies and assassinations that we are plagued with at a higher level, an overarching level, something that connects all of them together and gets patterns and realizes, quite frankly, it's probably many of the same people doing it over and over again anyway? Give us a call, 866-582-9933. The phone lines are open. It is a toll-free call, 866-582-9933. This is your opportunity to talk with Lance DeHaven Smith, a political scientist from the University of Florida, Florida State University.
Yeah.
And, Lance, is it fair to say that this is an evolving project for you? So open for input from people, are you?
Oh, absolutely. I coined this idea in 2006, and I started working with a couple of other scholars, Alex Kuzman in Australia, Matthew Witt in California, and they added things to it. We've been hard at work trying to get these ideas into peer-reviewed journals and presented at panels, but it's a work in progress.
And let me ask you something. Like, I know, for instance, a lot of the 9/11 scholars are having a hard time in those venues. I can't imagine that this is something that is going to be welcomed with open arms entirely in that arena, not like, say, the mating habits of the fruit fly or something.
No.
How do you feel? I mean, are you making progress? Is it difficult?
Yes.
Is it open?
Yeah, it is very difficult. The first article, I had a couple of journals where the editors wouldn't even send it out for review. And it was picked up eventually by Administrative Theory and Praxis. Then I submitted one to Public Administration Review that had two reviewers say publish, and one who was opposed to it basically on political grounds, and they had me, it's called a revise and resubmit, so I revised it and resubmitted it, and normally they would publish it in those circumstances, but one of the positive reviewers turned his vote around and said, no, we shouldn't publish it, get this, they said, this was too good for Public Administration Review, which is the premier journal in this field of public administration. And they rejected it. I went to the editorial board meeting and complained about it, and I learned that it had happened one time before in the entire 40-year history of the journal. So I really thought it was a situation where the editor had gotten nervous about it. And
maybe somebody dosed him with LSD like the CIA has been known to do from time to time. What does that mean? It's too good for this publication.
Oh, it was just a way to not publish it.
Unbelievable. Listen,
yeah.
We have a caller. Friends, you can join the conversation as well. 866-582-9933. I think, friends, this is what INN Report dedicates itself, bringing you important information that you're not getting in the mainstream. And I got to tell you, I am so buoyed by meeting Lance here and finding out about his work. I wanted to share his work with you as soon as I found out about it. And that's what we're doing today. You can give us a call if you have a question, 866-582-9933. But on the line is Matthew in Tulsa. Matthew, how what do you think of Dr. Smith and his program here? Hello? Oh, I'm sorry. It looks like Matthew just dropped off the line. Matthew, call us back. You were just going on the air there. 866-582-9933. You're welcome to join the conversation. This is your opportunity. Maybe you've got an idea. Submit it on the air right now. Maybe Dr. DeHaven Smith will take you up on it. This is a work in progress, isn't it, Lance?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We're trying to invent some, I call them observation methods, But one idea I've got is to take speeches where we know that there were lies and run them through a speech stress analysis program and develop a profile so we can tell when a given politician is lying and then run all their speeches through it, particularly things when they're talking about 9/11 or the Kennedy assassination or Iran-Contra, you know. Part of what I'm working on is a forensic approach that's kind of like crime analysis and trying to come up with the equivalent of a fingerprint scheme.
Yeah, there are definitely you can't get rid of all the trace elements, I guess, behind it. You know, I actually did see that applied one time and tested on what was then called the McNeil-Lehrer Report on PBS years ago.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah. They had it on screen and they were showing politicians talking and they were applying it. And I think the point was that, you know, it's not reliable enough and
right.
You know, that's sort of course. I mean, you know, at the same time, I bet Homeland Security uses it every day.
I bet they use it, and I bet they use it on foreign leaders' speeches. And
yeah.
Can you imagine what it would be like if we could, if we had a machine that could do that, and politicians knew if they were lying, people would know it.
Well, I think it would further reduce the rhetoric down to real blather because then they wouldn't be able to say anything. Listen, friends, the phone lines are open, 866-582-9933. Give me a call, and you know what? Not only will you have the opportunity to speak with Lance Haven Smith here, I'll send you out a book as well, all right? How about that? You can't go wrong. I'll send you out Jaded Tasks from Wayne Madsen, just a great book about these very things, about these very crimes against democracy. You know, why don't we go back a little bit? You were telling me you really got turned around and motivated in the wake of the 2000 election. You know, I got to tell you, Lance, we talked about the Kennedy assassination. I was a young man on the school bus platform ready to go home. I lived in Fairfax, Virginia at the time, and it was a suburb of Washington, and our neighbors were all families from the Pentagon. And I'm getting ready to go home. They announced this on the PA system just before I got on the bus. And suddenly, there is my next door neighbor, the mom from next door, collecting her kids. And she said, "Come on, Tom," you know. And my brother was there too. She says, "I'm going to drive you home." And so we said, "Oh, okay," you know. So we got, instead of riding the bus, we're going to get home quicker. We got in her car. The radio was on. And we asked her, "Why did you come and pick us up?" She said, "Because the president has just been killed, and I don't know what's going on. This could be a military coup."
Right.
Now, this is a woman whose husband was a colonel in the Air Force who worked at the Pentagon. All right? And I'm 9 years old, and she's telling me this kind of stuff. You know, when the next time – I hadn't felt the same way until the theft of the 2000 election. I had the same feeling that I had when Kennedy was killed.
Well, and they were in the crimes. I was in Tallahassee, of course, is where Florida State is located, and I was watching it very closely. I knew the law and what should have been done, and it was obvious that the Bush campaign was orchestrating an effort to block a recount and bring the U.S. Supreme Court in, because they knew that the Florida law and the Florida courts had always held that if you could count the vote, you had to count it. So it was very discouraging.
Lance, you were right there. I'm going to ask you a quick question because we're going on break, but maybe you can answer it when you get back. Wasn't actually the real problem is that there were many votes that hadn't even been counted one time because the machine couldn't read them, for instance?
Yes.
I think that was the real problem in Florida. You know, recount was a kind of a misnomer. If they had only counted the votes that the machine rejected, that could have been the margin of victory right there, I think. Anyway, we're with Lance Haven Smith. We'll be right back.
America, you are being tested, but here's where we study for it. From 1/2 mile north of Ground Zero in New York City, you are listening to INN World Report Radio with Tom Kiley. Now, daily on GCN, 4 until 5 p.m. Central. For 9 years, the alternative media activists at INN have produced national daily television news and information programming, top-of-the-hour radio news briefs, and INN World Report Radio. News talk radio that brings you real news the networks won't tell you, and all of it 100% certified neocon free. To find out more and for details on the stories we are following, go to innworldreport.net.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
I hope you're enjoying the program today. This is just very heartening, friends, to see that somebody is taking up the cause and taking this very seriously. I think, Lance, this catapults you just right over conspiracy and gets right in the face of what's really going on. By the way, friends, we're talking with Professor Lance DeHaven Smith from Florida State University in Tallahassee, Florida, who is putting forth what would you call this, a model, a thesis, a theory, or what do you call this thing?
I call it a construct. It's like a concept. The idea is that there are inside jobs in political crime, and what you want to do is lay out all the different ways these crimes are carried out and then look at who is benefiting from them and what kind of tactics they use. Most of the time they involve skills that the intelligence agencies have mastered. I mean, it's things like the assassination, false flag terrorism, provoked international conflicts.
Coup d'etats, removing governments, character or physical assassination.
Right, and you know, if you look at the history of America's involvement overseas in overthrowing governments and assassinating leaders, the state crimes against democracy in the United States tend to mirror what we're doing overseas. They lag about 5 years. So we were doing assassinations in the 50s, and they show up in the United States in big numbers with I call it a SCAD spree in the 60s with a series of assassinations. What we've moved to lately has been, the anthrax mailing is a new leap for these folks. There's little doubt that was a domestic strain. The FBI has pinned it on a guy who they drove to suicide. But at the very least, there's strong confirmation it was a domestic attack. I think if we had known that in October of 2001, we might have thought differently about 9/11. Part of what goes on in the government is you don't have to keep something secret forever. You just have to keep it secret long enough for it
to get the job done, right?
That's it.
Yeah. You know, and then you've also got these, let's just say opportune in their timing, at least, terror attacks like the, at the same time that was going on with the anthrax, then you had the D.C. sniper that was just freaking everybody out. Now, here's another guy who comes out of the Army with a cooked brain, right?
Yep.
Twisted mind. There's an assassination that's often overlooked. When it comes to the 60s, and actually maybe because it didn't really happen in the 60s, but nevertheless, it was the same chilling effect, I think, on the same kind of movement. John Lennon is killed by Chapman,
right?
Who is John Lennon's an enemy of the state for a very long time.
He was under surveillance. What I say about all of those kinds of assassinations is they're feeble-minded people that are doing them. And when the U.S. Was trying to kill Castro, they found a woman who had had an affair, a journalist, with Castro and manipulated her. She was very religious, and they convinced her she had committed a terrible sin, and the way, believe it or not, the way to redeem herself from the sin was to assassinate Castro. So this is, we know this is how our CIA handles people. When we look at these assassinations like Sirhan Sirhan and George Brimmer, the people who killed Bobby Kennedy and George Wallace, and the John Lennon assassin, and Hinckley with Reagan, the attack on Reagan, that all those people were feeble-minded, pathetic characters, really. You have to ask, how in the heck do people like that get the money, find out where the president is or the target is, get a gun, get there? It's hard to believe they could do that by themselves.
And, you know, the CIA has spent millions, if not billions of dollars, trying to figure out how you make a Manchurian candidate type of a person. How do you program an assassin? How do you have, how you can, wipe people's minds out of their memory of having been programmed as an assassin, on and on. That's Hank Albarelli's book, which, by the way, friends, that book is really starting to make some waves. I just see now that there was somebody wrote about it in the Huffington Post. If you go to the Huffington Post today, you'll see it. There is a big article that came out in France about the LSD attack now. So it's getting legs, thanks to you, the audience out there, because we've had Hank on a lot. But, Lance, this is just, this kind of makes, this links up with information like that, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think we, the more we learn about what our government did in the 50s and 60s, the better we will understand what they're doing today.
Now, this is an uphill battle. I think it's a lot more legitimate, unfortunately, I say that, because I don't think there's anything wrong with theorizing about obvious conspiracies. But I think this this should be a lot more legitimate. Crimes against democracy, state crimes against democracy. We touched on this before. What kind of a go are you experiencing with this in the academic community and getting published and so forth?
Been a very difficult struggle, although most of the time at least one reviewer will be very positive about it. The difficulty is the peer review process is almost like a vote, and there's usually three people that vote. And unless you can get two out of the three, and the third one needs to be kind of on the fence, they generally won't let you in. So it's very tough. Particularly, I've talked a lot about that there are many SCADs associated with the Bush administration, and I'm an independent. I'm not a registered Democrat or anything like that. But you got to call it like you see it, and there were just an enormous amount of political crimes committed during the Bush-Cheney years. And so when it gets reviewed by somebody who's got a partisan affiliation and a team spirit, so to speak, their tendency is to reject, I think, on purely those grounds. So it's pretty tough.
Friends, give us a call, 866-582-9933, if you'd like to speak with Professor DeHaven-Smith about state crimes against democracy. That's one of the more pernicious aspects of all this, Lance, if you ask me, is that one of the things that the perps of SCADs depend on is that invariably they will reflect poorly, if the truth be known, on one or the other, or in some cases maybe even both of the political parties. And you've got that diehard 20% or so, that are always there. Even when Bush is at his worst, they're the ones that still think he's doing a great job. Even when, the question is put out, should we impeach Bill Clinton? They're the ones that say yes. That diehard 20% that seems like they'll sell their soul to the devil, and they don't care about crimes against democracy if it's benefiting their side.
Yes, exactly. And, these presidents, and I think the spirit we ought to have as citizens is the presidents and public officials swear an oath to protect not the American citizen, but this Constitution, the American Constitution, the constitutional order. And we, you know, we've got to get beyond partisanship and get back to being committed to popular control of government and democracy and become a return to our principles, really.
Well, it seems like there's been an awful lot invested in preventing that from happening. But thanks to the work of people like you, I'm very heartened. And, Lance, where can people go? You have a website, right?
Right. It's dhaven-smith.com.
dhaven-smith.com.
Right.
If you want to find more out about Professor Lance DeHaven Smith. But don't worry, we will keep you abreast. We will have him back on this program frequently until crimes against democracy is a household concept, because that's what's going to happen. Starting here today on INN World Report Radio. How's that? Thank you, Lance, for joining us.
Thank you, Tom. It was a pleasure.
We'll have you back real soon. All right, friends, that's it. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about technology. And how safe is your communications on the web? All right, and we'll be doing technology tomorrow.